Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, January 17th. I'm Ray Graff. It's all about the wide world of cheese today. Joining us is Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl and Mary Rizzo from The Cheese Traveler. I was just out taking the air in front of the station with Shalina, and she informed me that today is National Cheese Lovers Day. I didn't know. In fact, she may have made it up, but it's a good premise, and so that's the show. 800-348-2551 if you want to talk cheese with us. 800-348-2551. You can also email your cheesy questions to voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org for the email, or 800-348-2551. Shalina and Mary and plenty of cheese coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's food today, and it's cheese today, and I love cheese a lot, and I love our guests today a lot. Shalina Bridgham has been in the specialty cheese industry for over 20 years. In 2013, she and her family opened their own creamery, Four Fat Fowl, in Steventown, New York. Four Fat Fowl reflects a commitment to making locally sourced, handcrafted cheeses of the top shelf quality. Also with us today is Mary Rizzo, proprietor of The Cheese Traveler in Albany, New York. Cheese Traveler offers handcrafted domestic and imported traditional cheeses, charcuterie sandwiches, pantry items, some pretty rare beer, and local organic meats. You want to talk cheese today? Yep, we got cheese on tap. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org as we get rolling here. Shalina and Mary, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. So happy to be here.
You know, I almost, in the green room, I almost said Happy New Year to Shalina. But then before I could say anything, she said it's too late to say Happy New Year.
I mean, what's the cutoff? What's the appropriate cutoff for Happy New Year?
I don't know. I haven't seen you since last year.
Well, all right.
But you don't.
But I'm happy.
Are you in one of those moods? I don't know. We better watch out, Mary. It's National Cheese Lovers Day. What? How is that even a thing?
Oh, it's a thing.
It's a thing?
On Monday, January 20th. It's the lover part that makes it so special. It's for cheese lovers. Because National Cheese Day is like in June.
Okay.
In stereo.
So, okay. And then this is just celebrating people who love cheese, but not necessarily the cheese.
Well, I Googled it this morning.
Really?
Yeah, because I wanted to know, like, how did we get this, National Cheese Lovers Day? And it says that National Cheese Lovers Day is all about discovering cheese and experimenting with it. Make things exciting by incorporating different cheeses into different recipes. However, they don't know who came up with it and give its origins no credit other than somebody added it to the national calendar.
Well, presumably the National Cheese Lovers Council probably.
It was probably like Kraft or somebody. It was like, hey, marketing.
You know, it's a very good little racket, though. Everything. You could have National Pizza Day, which I'm sure
there is.
And you could also have National Pizza Lovers Day. So then you get two of the same thing. You try cheese on two different days.
Let's be honest. Right. We love cheese, and so every day is Cheese Lovers Day.
Mary, I saw you. I stopped in the shop to do some Christmas shopping probably a couple days before Christmas. The place was hopping. The Cheese Traveler is doing very well, yeah?
We love cheese in the Capital District.
You know, I always, when I'm there, I get a nice chunk of cheese, and then I find a German beer I've never seen before. And the Reichelbrau, the smoked beer, was so good. It was a big hit with the fam.
Oh, fantastic.
So what's new with you?
You know, it's the new year. There's lots of fun things. I've got so much cheese in my case right now. But I've been having classes, and we've been talking about rind a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Like,
because a lot of people don't understand. They don't know the rule of rinds.
Well, what is the rule?
Yeah, eat it. If it tastes good, eat it.
Fair enough.
Wait, isn't that Andrew Zimmern or Anthony Bourdain, one of those? I think it's Bourdain who says, if it tastes good, eat it.
Exactly. Okay. If you like how it tastes, eat it.
Okay, and so you eat rinds. You're a rind eater.
I am a curd nerd, which means if they put a rind on it, it was for a reason, And I want to know why.
So interesting.
I'm going to nibble it.
Well, you know, Shalina, the four fat fowl, the St. Stephen, there's a soft rind on that, right?
Yep, that's an edible rind.
I eat them. I mean, we don't leave any morsel of that.
I leave it sitting right there on the tray. My husband, however, will eat every last drop of it.
Really? Oh, so you won't eat it?
I don't like the rind.
So you're a snob about it.
I'm not really. It's a texture thing, you know? It's fuzzy.
Well, I like
it's
that.
On Archie. And then I see like one of these rinds here that Mary has looks, I mean, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But I'm not eating that.
What is it? What is it?
Mary, what is this rind?
Yeah,
in?
She's looking at the Tomat Brulee, which is a sheep's milk cheese.
Which one is this? There's
and
several cheeses here.
This one here.
This.
Mm-hmm.
It's lightly smoked, and they literally light the thing on fire.
Well, of course they do.
I'm gonna
Why
eat it.
Why do they do that?
To brulee it. It's just a treatment to the rind to get in part that smoky flavor.
And I'm supposed to eat that?
You can try it. It's a little acrid. It's.
Do you eat it?
Oh, I eat it.
All right, show me. Prove it to me.
Here we go.
Okay.
The cheese is delicious, that brulee cheese. I am not doing the rind.
I'm
though.
Digging the rind, too.
Okay.
It's really good. You know what, Shalina?
I'm not doing it, right?
Stop being such a wet blanket.
Nope.
For God's
not
sake.
Doing it.
Number here is 800-348-2551. It is cheese today. I love cheese. I'm a big cheese fan, and this year we're doing two cheese shows. We'll have one later in the year, too, so I'm very excited. Shalina Bridgham, Mary Rizzo, our guests, this email, and we're staring at some beautifully made cheese. And to me, they all look exotic, and it's going to be a great show. But the first question from Michael and Benson is about American cheese. So here we go. Michael wrote in quite some time ago. Can you please discuss American cheese for me? Why single slice and deli cut seem so different? Why some is yellow, like the WAMC donate button, and some is ghostly white? Or what makes it have the signature melt quality that some think of it as plastic cheese? You see, American cheese. I love American cheese. Full disclosure.
Well, I don't know how far back we want to go with a history lesson, but let's jump in the middle of the pool and talk about color differences, because it comes down to beta carotene. How much beta carotene the girls ate in their grasses while they were out at pasture.
You're talking about the cows.
Those are the girls I'm referring
okay.
to. And whether they're sheep or goat or cows.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
It's beta carotene.
Okay.
And so cows cannot process it. And so that beta carotene goes through their systems and into the milk.
I'll be darned.
And so if they eat a lot of beta carotene because it's summer and it's young and we've had a lot of rain and good grass, your cheese gets a deeper and deeper golden color, just like butter. There's some like Kerrygold butter from Ireland. It's so rich and gold.
I think you mean Barrygold water, right?
Yes, that.
Kerrygold butter. Okay. Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. But
the other side of that is more... That is true, depending on the diet and how much beta carotene they're getting. But then you have other cheesemakers, which, especially in the Midwest, it's very common to add annatto to the cheese.
Annatto?
Yes.
They what want, is annatto?
Makes the cheese yellow. You have a white cheddar and a yellow cheddar. They
Annatto is a seed pod from South America that imparts color, but not really flavor.
But, I mean, American cheese, you think about, now, there are some that I like. I love Cooper American. You go to the deli, you get that. It's got a nice sharpness to it. But most of the time, people will think, okay, well, this is very processed cheese. You get it in the grocery store. What exactly is American cheese? Let's start with that.
Processed.
Well, so, and I guess if you go back in history and you go back to the 1970s when milk was being subsidized by the government,
yeah.
It was a commodity. And so in order for the government to do something with all that extra milk, they started making cheese. They were paying... makers to produce a cheese with all of this extra milk that we had. And so those recipes were kind of refined over time and based on maker. But that's why American cheese is this kind of cheddar-like, but not cheddar or Colby, because everyone had their own little distinct recipes.
Is it really cheese?
Yes, it's just it on what Mary's saying. The back in the day, you have all this beautiful milk, and you either threw it out or you processed it in some way.
Yeah.
So to harvest it or to keep it or whatever, they would process it and make American cheese.
But you
cheese.
Have to keep in mind that cheese has four ingredients, and once you stray from that, we're not exactly talking about cheese anymore.
Cheese
we
food.
Can talk about cheese food or a mm-hmm. processed food, but anything that goes beyond milk, salt, culture, and rennet, you're not exactly having cheese. Now, there's adjuncts that can be added after the fact, like your hot pepper cheddar.
Right.
And I'm not referring to those. But if there's more than those four basic ingredients...
So when did these rules come down? I mean, we know about the German beer purity law of 1516, but is this cheese thing similarly regimented?
Yes and no.
Jalene is looking at me quizzically.
What's the question?
It's going to be one of those shows. You know what?
Because it's not, I mean, you have...
Is there a rule that... Mary just said, yeah, well, if it's beyond four ingredients.
Right.
So who came up with that rule, and why does anyone have to follow it?
It's kind of the way cheese was originally made. I mean, if you look back through time, those are the original ingredients of cheese.
And you have to follow. You don't have to follow. You can eat whatever you want. But I think a lot of us are more aware of what we're putting into our body. And that those are the things that cheese should have in it. So when we're talking about that, my head went to, like, you have a lot of plant-based cheeses now, and it's not cheese. I don't know why it's on a cheese shelf. It's not dairy. It's not cheese. So I guess that's why you follow the rules, so that as a consumer, you know what you're eating. But here in the States, we're not. We're not following the rules at all. We're calling things that don't have milk in it at all cheese.
Right.
So I guess that's where I'm a little confused on the rules, because, like, rules are meant to be either interpreted or broken. If you're staying true to traditional cheese making practices, you do not want more than those four ingredients.
All right, so let's all agree that we'll stop talking about American cheese. But right after this question, Mary, you've traveled the world in search of delicious cheese. Shalina, you go to cheese trade organizations and everything else. Is American cheese only in America, or does Switzerland have their own version of it, or Guam, for instance? Is it only American cheese? Of course, Guam is an American territory.
You know, the mother of cheddar is a cheese called Cantal, which came from Gaul before there was even a France.
Okay.
And it was brought up to the UK via the Romans. And so the conquering Romans brought it to a town called Cheddar. Oh. And those people were like, hey, let's keep making this. It's really delicious.
Okay. Objection. The answer is unresponsive. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. You didn't answer my question, Mary Rizzo. But now we'll stop talking about American cheese. We'll get to the phones and stuff, and email as well. We'll be back. Hey, folks, you know, we've just spent 15 minutes talking about American cheese, and that's the sort of thing you get in public radio, that deep discussion about important issues like processed cheese food. And, you know, the lockbox is open. If you want to support more chat about processed cheese food, make your pledge now at WAMC.org. Every dollar raised right now counts on day one of the fund drive. That's February 3rd. Make your pledge, WAMC.org. It's Cheese Today. Shalina Bridgham and Mary Rizzo. Mary is proprietor of the Cheese Traveler in Albany. Shalina is one of the head honchos at Four Fat Fowl. What's happening over at Four Fat Fowl?
Schleppin' cheese, Ray. We're getting ready to...
Schleppin' cheese.
Yep. We're heading to Vegas tomorrow for the Winter Fancy Food Show, and we'll show off our delicious makings.
Can you put 100 on red for me when you go?
Yep. I'll sneak down at night and...
Can I borrow 100?
Yeah. Your credit's good with me, right?
Mr. Bond. Well, that's exciting. So you guys do amazing work at Four Fat Fowl. I don't know if I didn't say this on the air, but I did tell you in the green room that I was at the Cheese Traveler, and somebody came in and said, I'm waiting for my four fat fowl. And lo and behold, the delivery arrived as I was
sorry,
there.
I'm sorry, Mary. We got a little behind.
So, really, it was a crazy season?
The production, 2 weeks in a row with production on Wednesday, and then 4 weeks, 3 weeks prior to that, you have Thanksgiving on a Thursday. And our guys go all year long. They work hard, and nobody calls in sick. We don't take time off. So when it came to the holidays, we gave it back. We gave the time back to the people that bust their butts and make the cheese. So we got caught a little short on product, as Mary knows, and it's coming back up now though. But it matters when you're at that point in the year to give your people the time they need with their families and get through the holidays.
But the Wednesday holidays, it's terrible on a number of levels.
It was awful. But then, of course, the other side of that is you have somebody, Mary now has some person in their shop waiting for product. And
it arrived, though. As I stood, it was like a commercial. All of a sudden, there it is. The Four Fat Fowl St. Stephen is some of the greatest stuff ever made. Just quickly, before we go to Tony in Clifton Park, explain to me how you make that.
Well, we use milk from our neighboring farm, the Chittenden family in Stuyvesant. We get their beautiful Jersey Girl milk, and we start with that. Fresh milk goes in the vat. Cream is added, the secret recipe with culture and rennet. It cooks in the vat, gets ladled that day, sits overnight. The following day, sometime by around 11 a.m., the desired pH is reached on the cheese, and then we brine it all by hand. Each piece gets a little bath. It's a spa day.
So brining it, how do you do it?
In a wet, you mix 100% solution of salt and water, and you want that salt all to be absorbed in that water. And once it is, you put the cheese in it, and you roll it, and you pat it, and you talk to it, and you wait a certain amount of time. And that you laugh, but let me tell you.
You talk to the cheese.
I talk to the cheese.
So you're the Dr. Doolittle of cheese.
I go in the cooler sometimes, and I'm like, you better hurry up and put some mold on you because Mary is waiting for you.
Mary, Shalina's scaring me.
Well, then don't come to my case because I talk to my kids all
you
day
You have
long.
To. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Well, I tell you what. I love going into your shop because your eyes. I said, I need a nice piece of cheddar, and your eyes light up. Oh, like a mad scientist. Oh, come with me, and then I go over to the case.
So I have a little joke where we're talking about talking to the cheese. This is a good segue for this joke. What did the cheese say to the therapist?
Oh, I'm gonna say I don't know.
I can't bear it any longer.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You know what? This is the Algonquin Roundtable. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Tony in Clifton Park. Tony, you're on.
Yes, hi. I have a question about cheese for Detroit-style pizza. What I've found is the Wisconsin brick cheese, which seems to have the right flavor and meltability. I'll call it meltability. But it's really hard to find locally. So wondering if you have any suggestions on where to purchase that. And if not, what combination of cheeses would work similar to that if you have a view of Wisconsin brick cheese?
Mary, before you answer, what is Wisconsin brick cheese? Oh, you know? You know too, Shalina? Well, somebody say it.
You go ahead, Mary, and talk about the cheese, and then I'll tell this man how to get his hands on Wisconsin brick cheese, because you're not going to get Wisconsin brick cheese in New York State.
Well, I was just going to say, Tony, did you call me yesterday? Because I have had so many people asking for Wisconsin brick cheese that I'm actually looking into it right now.
Oh, that's amazing. All right.
No, it did not, actually.
So there you go. There's a run on it now.
Maybe I should have.
All right, Shalina, what do you got?
So my other job that I still work for since I've opened the creamery 10 years ago is a specialty cheese distributor.
Oh.
And Wisconsin is their main, we carry a lot of brands from Wisconsin on that end of things. So brick cheese, Klondike has come. Anyway, Mary's distributor can get this cheese. It's going to be a couple week lead time, and then Mary can give you the Wisconsin brick cheese that you'd like.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. Good luck with the Detroit style pie. I love them, and it's a great style. And appreciate the call. Speaking of specialty cheese,
yes,
Shalina, you brought these things that are not for fat fowl.
Yes, because it's National Cheese Lovers Day,
right?
And we've got all these beautiful cheeses, and I thought, why just focus on four fat fowl when you have you know, Vermont Farmstead and Jasper Hill and other beautiful things that I didn't have hanging around my sample fridge.
So this is Jasper Hill, and you have two different kinds of blue cheese.
I do. They have a new one out called Withersbrook Blue that I thought I was going to... My goal here was to impress Mary. I was like, Mary, have you had this yet? And she was like, yeah. So I just thought we'd bring some more cheeses to talk about because it is National Cheese Lovers
Day. All right, you're opening that on the...
I don't have to.
No, I love it. Blue cheese can have a little pungence, and I love it. But, you know, hopefully Lucas Willard is doing... Boy, this is... Well, you know what? It's not your fault.
It's fine.
You got paper towels. She knocked over a little water. It's not her fault. It's very crowded. Mary, what did you bring here?
Well, so while we're, you know, the blue cheese opening is soaked in booze, so who doesn't love a boozy blue? But in the meantime, if you want to go to soft and creamy, I brought you a little epoisse.
Which one is epoisse?
Epoisse is the one that's got your knife in it because it is ripe and ready,
off the knife?
I think if you're careful.
All right, so this is...
So this is a washed rind cow's milk cheese from France.
Okay.
A little stinky on the nose, but this cream, this paste is going to be so sweet that you're going to wonder why it's not in your life all the time.
Okay, so, and you're right. It's got a little stink to it, but the taste is phenomenal. And why does it taste so different than it smells? I mean, how do you do that?
So washed rind cheeses, whether they're washed in an alcohol or a saltwater brine, attracts new bacteria to the rind.
Yeah.
And so eating all those sugars or whatever the host is offering there makes a stinky, you know, smelling cheese.
Yeah, it's very good. You want to clear the room, you put a little of that out, right? And then you eat it all yourself.
Exactly.
The number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a cheese question, you can also email voxpop@wamc.org. How's the cleanup going over there on aisle 6?
It's going just fine.
Yeah, everything good?
It's going just fine.
How do you feel? You feel good? Relaxed?
It's no problem for me. I don't know how you guys feel about this.
I'm sure the thousands of dollars of equipment will dry out. It's fine.
I saved the headphones. I've got the blue cheese cut.
No one was electrocuted.
No one was electrocuted.
Not yet. All right, how about an email here before we see what else you brought? What else could go wrong? This is from Samantha. Wait a minute. I know this, Samantha. What is the perfect type of cheese for a classic charcuterie board, and how much cheese should you really have on it?
Depends on how many people you're serving is the quantity of each piece, but you want to have, like, I enjoy odd numbers, so 3 or 5 would be my desired number.
In my opinion, a board should have, it should have a cheddar, it should have a blue, it should have a soft ripened, and you go from there. Those are your three basics. It should be cheddar, blue, brie, and then you can add and build from there. And also on a board, always tête-à-moire rosettes, always on a cheese board. It's a imported cheese from Switzerland, and it's washed and it's funky, but it comes with a girole, which is a cheese utensil, and you roll it and it makes the thinnest little cheese flour
that just kind of melt on your tongue. Really, if you've never had a cheese flour, Ray, you need to expand.
I haven't, but as this is my last show, as we've destroyed the studio, I probably will never be able to afford it. Hey, you love cheese, Mary, and it shows in every word that you say about it. Is there a cheese you don't like?
Oh, I've never met a cheese I don't at least enjoy trying.
Even Limburger,
because you just saw with the epoisse, what stinks on the nose is not the same on the palate.
So Limburger is also a washed cheese?
It is.
Interesting. Okay. I'm glad you didn't bring that. Lucas Willard would have none of that. All right. Hey, Shalina.
Yes.
Everything's fine. Sit down, relax.
It's fine.
We're
it's
doing
lovely.
A show. It's all good. It'll be fine. All right. Let's try this blue cheese. This is dipped in bourbon, did you say?
No. It's soaked in, it's a local wine, I think.
Oh, okay.
And so this ice, no, it's an icebox cider, if I'm remembering.
It's a,
it is a cider. And it's, after, it's Bailey Hayes and Blue, and they age it, and then they take the whole thing and they stick it in a bag that's filled with this cider, and they let it keep aging. And this is what comes out.
This is extraordinarily good.
I know.
This is amazing.
Yes, you know how I know? Because I don't like blue cheese. When you're talking about cheeses that people don't like, Mary's got nothing.
But you won't, so you won't eat this? You will not eat this, Shalina?
No.
Really?
I will not eat it.
So you brought it for us because you had plenty of it left over because you wouldn't eat it.
I brought it because Jasper is a brand that I sell, but they sent the sales girls some cheese for the new year. And I said, oh, perfect timing. And I saw the Withersbrook. And like I said, I was just trying to show off for Mary.
I love this.
Impossible. That iced cider. It's like
you can taste the cider.
I was looking at the-
Now that you have mentioned it, I can sort, maybe I'm imagining it, but I got an edge of cider to that.
You do. It really does. It's got that little apple bite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a winner. You have that at the Cheese Traveler?
I do.
All right, this from Fran in Gallatin. What is the best cheese to use on French onion soup?
Gruyere.
That's the traditional.
So how does
you could do Emmentaler or, you know, but...
Does Gruyere, is it just texture? How does it differ from classic Swiss that we would see here?
Well, so classic Swiss is an American term.
Ah, there we go.
And so Swiss, your imported Swiss with the holes in it, and it's got it tastes like feet.
It tastes like feet. Way to sell it, Shalina.
So the Gruyere is different. It's not. There's not as much gas in the cheese. It doesn't get the holes like the Swiss produces. So it is, in my opinion, the Gruyere can be more mild, more buttery and nutty.
I love Gruyere.
Where your Swiss,
and that it's a different in the make style. So when we're talking about Gruyere or Comté, we are talking about Alpine-style cheeses. And so those cooked curds have already rebonded all of their molecules, so they're going to be creamy and really meltable. And that's why raclette cheese, you know, those are the ones you want melted over potatoes in the winter, or you want them, you know, in your fondue. You want to make a
Keep going.
Your
keep
eyes
going.
Light up.
Yeah, keep going.
What else can we do thought. With keep those cheeses?
Well, the fondue is something I was going to ask about. Now, you just said Gruyere goes in. What else goes into fondue?
Emmentaler.
An Emmentaler is like a Swiss?
Emmentaler is a Swiss cheese with the eyes that you said is classic Swiss cheese.
Dost thou mocketh me?
No,
right,
we're
that's
just
fine.
We're defining our terms.
Well, the number to call here is 800-348-2551 if you have a question about cheese for our experts today.
And don't forget, when you're making your fondue, you got to toss a little bubbly or white wine in there.
Okay.
It's got to go. It's not just straight cheese.
Full disclosure on our wedding gift list registry years ago, you get one of those guns and you just click the barcodes. And my wife-to-be was like, you're an idiot. I was just clicking stuff randomly because I thought, oh, this gun is cool. And we ended up with a fondue set. And I don't think we ever used it. It went to a garage sale.
Oh,
I know, right? Now I want one.
That's a travesty.
I'm sorry, all. Hey, before we get back to the phones, quickly, we talk a lot about cheese in my house. Cheese curds. You mentioned those, Mary. Explain to me what they are. We talk a lot about poutine lately. Mm-hmm. So tell me what is exactly a cheese curd and what does it weigh? That's my joke. There you go.
There is no whey in a cheese curd.
Right. So. Curds aren't whey. It was a joke. Anyway, so what is cheese curd?
My joke was better.
Darn it.
That could be true. So when you are making a cheddar and you mill those curds, the first step, the youngest bit of cheddar cheese would be the cheese curd. And so if you continue to knit that with all of its friends into a 40-pound block and you begin aging it, now you're maturing your cheese.
Uh-huh.
And so as cheese ages, its flavor changes. I didn't bring cheddar, but I brought you two cheeses at very different ages today.
Yeah.
So that you could do this little experiment.
Okay, I'm ready.
You've got a young Mahone cheese, which has got this...
This one.
That's correct.
Okay.
The one on top.
Right.
And so at 3 months old, this cow's milk cheese from Spain is going to be a little sour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the piece underneath it.
This
is,
one.
Is when it has its first birthday.
Can I eat the rind on this?
Oh, my gosh. The rind is the best part
really?
Of this. It's got, like, this spiciness to it.
Oh, you're right. The difference is remarkable. Mm. And that's a nine-month difference.
That's right.
So curds are like, they would be akin to moonshine. Moonshine is out of the still, and it's not aged in a barrel, and it's straight out, and that's what a curd is. Not, you know, it's
yes,
new. It's brand new.
True. Brand new.
Okay. Real good. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Barb is in Schenectady. Barb.
Yes. My question is, what's the best kind of cheese for macaroni and cheese?
That can go so many different ways.
Well, which way do you go?
I use several different cheeses. I use a cheddar. I use a mozzarella. I swear by a fontina for macaroni and cheese. You cannot get that creamy, melty consistency with anything but fontina.
And fontina is like a parm. It's like Italian cheese. No.
No, it's not like a parm, but it is Italian.
Asiago kind of thing.
It's a no. It's a melter.
No, it's a melter. Okay. It's a must in mac and cheese, I think. And I always like to throw in a little bit of Alpine, whether it be a Gruyere or an Emmental, like a cup and a half. I don't want it to be too much in my blend, but I always am putting in some type of Swiss with my...
So you get pretty fancy. You have several different kinds of cheese.
Four.
Four.
Yep. Yeah. Cheddar, mozzarella, fontina, and an Alpine.
What about you, Mary?
Well, I'm not going to answer your question right because that's how I roll, but I'm going to say if you use cheddars... You have to be careful because the amount of fat in some of those cheeses, when it's released, could make what you feel is an oiliness to your cheddar or to your mac and cheese. So just know that those Alpines have already mixed all of the fat molecules into it, and so the fat's not going to pool like it does when people use a cheddar.
I did not know that.
That's the nugget of information I'll depart.
All right. Hey, Barb, thanks for the call and good luck. Of course, you know, Kizzy Williams was on last week, and she makes tremendous mac and cheese. I think she just used one kind of cheese.
You can. You can get away with mac and cheese is its own thing. You can get away with just a cheddar if you want. If I'm going to use one cheese, I'm going to throw some garlic in there and try and get some more flavor going on with it. I just usually happen to have 3 or 4 cheeses hanging around.
Really?
That I can...
Amazing. And I bet you have a few hanging around, too.
I always have lots of cheese hanging around.
We're joined today by Mary Rizzo from The Cheese Traveler and Shalina Bridgham from 4 Fat Fowl and Steve in Town. The number is 800-348-2551. It's National Cheese Lovers Day, folks. Celebrate. Don't want to belabor the point, but the lockbox is open, WAMC.org. We're doing very well, folks. You're doing marvelously well. We're over well over 400,000 in the lockbox. Every dollar counts on day one of our fund drive in February. Make a pledge, WAMC.org. Any amount you want, and we thank you in advance. This email from my friend John Fisher, formerly of the CIA. I think he might still teach a course or two over there down in Hyde Park. He writes, I love the 4 Fat Fowls cheeses. And as you might remember, I wrote a book on cheese. Nah, I forgot, John. And one quick note, it's surprisingly how well sake goes with cheese. You ever had sake?
Yep.
Do you ever have it with cheese?
Nope.
There is a sake that is being made with New York State water now. Huh. And so I've done a sake pairing at the Cheese Traveler.
Really?
What did you pair it with?
It depends. I mean, we had 3 different types of sake. And so I also did it with a non-traditional, because usually you have it with fish or seafood.
Yeah.
So I also paired it with charcuterie just to be fun.
You know what? Maybe on the next show, since he wrote a book about it, I'll bring Fisher on. I'm sure he's got time on his hands.
And have Mary do a pairing with him?
No, you're going to be here as long as you don't knock anything over.
I'll eat it.
Okay, fair enough.
But I can't pair it.
So you guys were making some hilarious puns earlier about cheese. Somebody said you camembert anymore, right? Somebody said that joke?
Yep.
Dave S. in Albany writes in, you could if you Gruyere resilience. I don't know. I don't get that one. What you guys
grow your resilience?
Oh, okay.
Gruyere your resilience.
All right.
Hey, here's one more. What does a cheese alcoholic call for?
More beer. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm putting it away.
Who's writing your material?
Because it's Google.
He should be fired. Honestly, Ashley writes in. Mimolette is one of my favorite cheeses, but one of my friends said that they make it with bugs or mites. Can you confirm this?
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry, what now? They make it with bugs and mites?
Mites is a bug. Yeah, mites is a thing, and it's delicious.
Oh, come on.
But Mary, look, I just know that it's a thing and that they're delicious. But Mary knows way more about this, so we're gonna defer to Mary.
So if you're aging cheeses and the recipe, you know, allows, you can introduce a cheese mite to your cave. And so the cheese mite's job is to nibble on the rind and kind of break down some of the bacterias on the rind. And so you can see in Mimolette sometimes on the rind, it's got like little holes in it, like little spaces where these little guys have been nibbling.
Where do they go when they're done nibbling?
Sometimes.
Are they still in the cheese?
Sometimes. And sometimes, you know, you can tap them out of the cheese. We brush them off. When you come to the cheese traveler, they're probably not in with the cheese rind anymore.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to order that when I go to the cheese traveler. So just so you know, you can keep the mites. It's fine.
When it comes to aging cheese, mites are your friend.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely. Aged cheeses. You got to have them.
Now, Mimolette is the cheese?
All sorts of cheddars, cloth, bandaged cheddars are covered. They have the mites. I mean, it's cheese. Your favorite cheddar probably has aged with some mites hanging around.
Let me tell you what doesn't have mites.
4FFL.
4FFL and Velveeta.
That's not cheese, though.
Oh, that's right. Now we're going back. All right, this email from Chris. I'm a big fan of L'Explorateur, soft, ripened cheese, and haven't seen it in years. Do you have any info on this French cheese?
Latour? He's talking about Latour from Altalonga?
It looks like it's L'Explorateur. Like explore with an atour on the end.
I don't know that cheese. If he's talking about Latour, it should be available like at Honest Weight.
Okay. Well,
but that cheese and that spelling, I'm not familiar.
Do you want to look at the spelling real quick, Mary? Or
She showed it to me.
Okay, fair enough. Number here is 800-348-2551. Suddenly it's a spelling bee. Deborah writes in, my husband and I went to Christmas markets in Germany this year.
Ooh.
One of the edible offerings at several markets was a cheese that had a knob on top. This cheese was hung over a low fire where the bottom would melt. The melted cheese was then scraped off the cheese and spread on a big piece of fresh bread. What kind of cheese do you think this was, and how might I replicate this process? And that's from Deborah.
Oh, Deborah, it's raclette, and we are in raclette season.
What do you mean? Wait.
Raclette can either be Swiss or French, and it is made to be melted. There's a cheese tool called a raclette iron.
Yeah.
And so the raclette wheel sits underneath this lamp, this iron getting hot and bubbly. And when it's all hot and bubbly on its surface, you take your cheese saber and you swipe that melty cheese right onto a plate of new potatoes.
Or in Germany, right onto a brat. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
the cheese
delicious.
Traveler will have raclette days in February.
You have everything. That's amazing.
It is funny.
Barb writes in. Barb, our screener, writes in. You wonder why Nora is doing the screening on the phones today? Barb is in New Zealand and listening on the WAMC app. And Barb writes, while traveling, we tried grilled halloumi cheese the other day. Noticed it squeaked a bit as we chewed it. Any idea what makes it squeak? It's probably mites, Barb. Just saying.
It's cheese mice. No. It's because there's so low moisture content that it literally squeaks on your teeth, just like a cheese curd has such a low moisture content squeaky.
Okay. So just oil up your mouth a little bit, Barb. It'll be fine. Number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go back to the phones. Mary Rizzo's here from the Cheese Traveler, and Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl, who has not broken anything in the last 15 minutes. It's been great. Let's go to Colony. Karen, you're on. Hello.
Hello. I'm calling about raclette.
Okay.
I do have both French and Swiss, depending on your likes. They also put adjuncts into them sometimes, like hot chili peppers or nettle or cracked black pepper. So there's lots of different kinds of raclette.
Right. Well, my question is, when we were first introduced to this, which was more than 25 years ago, in Switzerland, the raclette, the cheese that we were using was very strong or sharp. I don't know what word you would use.
Stinky.
And for a while here in the Capital District, from the Honest Way, I was able to replicate that. But lately, I would say the last 5 or 6 years, it's never as sharp or strong, whatever the word is, that as what I'm looking for. And so I don't know what you would recommend that would be really, strong. I don't know what the word is, but strong.
We have some pretty aromatic, some pretty stinky raclettes in the store right now, and I can attest to that because the shop stinks.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right.
I do know that domestic raclettes aren't as pungent as the ones from France and Switzerland. Mm. So if Honest Weight was supporting, Springbrook Farms, Redding, or Paulette, they're not quite as pungent. But I've got pungent.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Karen, thanks a lot for the call. Go ahead.
I'm just going to jump in back to the gentleman that Mary found the cheese, the Explorator.
Yeah.
That I thought maybe Latour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that here, but there's an importer called Larkin. And they're out of New York. They're at the port in New York. The name of the company is Larkin, if you're still listening. You could give them a call, and they might be bringing it in the States, and they would be able to tell you where it's at.
But it's a triple cream, so,
yeah.
Have a nibble of some St. Stephen and see if it scratches that itch.
Yes, have the St. Stephen.
So this one, Mary, this is really interesting cheese. It's a hard cheese, fairly, must be aged pretty well. It's pretty dry, right? And it's got it's hard to describe the taste of this.
Which one is that?
That is Isle of Mull cheddar.
Oh, that's this one.
Yeah.
Fruity.
It's not sharp like a cheddar, though, is it?
It's a cloth-bound cheddar. So there's two ways of aging your cheddar, either cryovac'd in a block or bandage-wrapped and aged in a cave.
Huh.
And so when you age in a cave, it's a little more earthy. And this particular one out of Scotland is a little more fruity.
Yeah,
and
I'm getting sharp too. It's got some sharp.
See, to
when
me,
you
that
finish.
I didn't get the sharp.
I only got it on the finish, and
did
I liked it.
Did you eat the rind?
No.
Come on.
No, but I do want to eat this gooey, ooey, fudgy looking.
Oh, I had some.
Oh,
that's the one that stinks when you smell it and sweet when you eat it. Oh, just try it.
What is it?
It's a poisse.
Oh, I know. I like that. That's delicious. But yeah, you can't just smell it.
All right, have a little of that, and we'll take a call. By the way, Jasper Hill also makes a cloth bound.
Yep, I brought that
Cabot,
for you.
Huh? Mm-hmm. That's lovely stuff. 800-348-2551. Wendy is in Kent, Connecticut. Hello, Wendy.
Hello. I'm calling about Liederkranz cheese, which I grew up with and loved. It's very stinky, but it was delicious.
Uh-oh. I saw some eye rolls. What's going on? Is it what's the deal, folks?
The closest I've ever tasted to it is Limburger, but it came in a little wooden box. Liederkranz.
I mean, it sounds like maybe a really stinky camembert. If you want to try like a traditional French stinky camembert, might get you there.
But I was just asking what happened to it. You've never heard of it?
Oh, I've heard of it. A lot of small cheesemakers have gone the way of lots of small businesses. And some just aren't being made anymore.
Do you think that people just got too grossed out by the smell and they just said, "Yeah, let's give it up"?
I doubt that.
Well, I heard once that the spores or the mold that was responsible for the flavor died, and that they weren't unable to find it again. I don't know if that's...
Could that be possible?
If that's factor.
It is possible because it is a living organism. I know that a lot of cheesemakers go out of their way to protect their cultures and to make sure that they continue to thrive. But what you're talking about is a cheese, you know, I don't want to call it an ancient cheese, but it's a recipe that goes back quite a while.
Mm. Interesting.
Or maybe even try this stinking bishop might be.
The stinking bishop?
Oh.
That might be something. I mean, if she's looking for, if Mary's got any of that.
You know, I won $20 on the stinking bishop up at the track one year. It was stinking bishop.
I don't make
front.
Up the names, Ray.
Okay. Hey, Wendy, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. Okay, let's go. Uh-oh. You see, you read his email, and then he calls in. Let's go to John in Hyde Park. Hello, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
That's John Fisher. He wrote in a little while ago. What's up, brother?
You bringing a sake?
Well, I heard the question. What's that?
Are you on your way with sake?
Right now.
They make some
I don't
stuff.
Have any sake in the car here.
Okay.
No.
All right.
But I heard the question about the Explorateur. And it's just a triple creme, like one of those tall bloom rind cheeses like Saint-André.
Okay.
But it doesn't hold a candle to St. Stephen.
St. Stephen is pretty great stuff.
No, I would never say it was better than St. Stephen's. That's one of my favorite cheeses now, and I'm not just saying it to be nice.
Well, I tell you what, if you were here and you did say that, she would dump water over your head because she's already been dumping water all over the studio, John.
It's not true. None of it's true.
Hey, man.
Well, I would have brought beer and wine and sake, so you could have poured that, too.
Next time.
I will.
I don't remember when the cheese show is next. It's probably 6 months or so from now, right?
June, I think.
Maybe.
August.
Now, you've heard his voice.
Oh, yes, August.
Do you guys hate John Fisher? Because, I mean, maybe we'll invite him up for the show.
Wonderful.
The more the merrier.
Apparently, that you made a good impression, John.
Oh, thank goodness.
All right,
and
man.
One quick thing about the Explorateur. It was famous for its logo, which had a rocket ship on it.
Yes,
like
I saw
1940s
that.
Drawing of a rocket ship on it.
Cool. Well, is that in the book?
I can't remember.
Bit of information. Hey, man, have a great weekend. Well, thank you, and we will talk to you.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Talk to you soon. Let's go to Sean in Albany. Sean, you're on the Cheese Show.
Hey, thanks, Ray. Quick question. To eat the rind or not eat the rind? And I heard you give a little shade earlier for someone not eating the rind.
Well, that was Selena.
There seems to be always mixed opinions. But, what rinds can you eat? What rinds can you not eat?
We don't recommend you eat cloth, foil, or wax.
Right.
But other than that, if you like how it tastes, eat it.
And if it's a cave-aged rind and you don't like how it tastes, throw it in the freezer and make stock with it the next time you make soup. Throw it in with your beef bones or your chicken bones and flavor up that soup stock. You won't regret it.
There you go. Well, thanks for the call, Sean. We're almost out of time here. And let's see. We'll get one more email in. Or tell you what, while I'm looking for an email, I'll let you two pick out one more cheese to try here. By the way, your camembert.
Yes.
That's tremendous stuff.
It's really good. That camembert is delicious.
Camembert.
I don't have any.
I knew
today.
It was a Grateful Dead reference,
but
I couldn't remember.
We like to say that Bertha can come around anytime.
Yeah, it's good stuff. This is an email from on the mac and cheese. Paul puts blue or gorgonzola in the mac and cheese.
You could.
Definitely Fontina and a lot of bechamel.
Bechamel.
I say that?
Yeah, that's his roux.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, let's try one more cheese.
Well, you've got a goat's milk with a geotrinchum rind
there.
That's the one.
I'm sorry, what kind of rind?
It's a geotrinchum rind, so it's going to be a little more yeasty on the rind. But if you notice, Ray, there's a cream line that's formed on that cheese between the center paste and the edge.
Yep.
And that tells you how old the cheese is. It's like rings on a tree.
How
right?
old is this one?
That one's probably 16 weeks, maybe.
Okay, it's very good.
It is.
What do you think of that, Shalina?
I...
What do you mean?
You don't mean goat.
What? Oh, you don't eat that kind of cheese?
And so it's
actually really nice. It's not too goaty. I'm a little sometimes hesitant with goat because they can be barney. Very goaty, very barney, like they threw their hooves in the vat,
yeah.
You know? But this is not. This is very lovely, Mary.
That's high praise indeed. All right. If people want to find out more about Four Fat Fowl, Shalina Bridgham, how do they do it?
Oh. They go to fourfatfowl.com,
and that's,
or they can check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or they can stop into Mary's shop. She knows our story. They can always hit me up on email, shalina@fourfatfowl.com. We're easy to get a hold of.
Okay, fair enough, and have fun in Vegas.
Thanks, man.
Remember, $100 on red. I'll pay you later.
Okay.
Or you can take it out of the winnings, obviously. All right, Mary Rizzo, how do people find the Cheese Traveler?
Well, we're over on Delaware Avenue in Albany. We've got the website, www.thecheesetraveler.com.
This was fun, and if Fisher shows up with booze next time, it's even going to be more fun. So
look
I'll
forward
bring
to
the
it.
Cheese.
Well, thank you all. Support comes from Clock Estate, Hudson, New York, an earth-to-glass brandy distillery and destination that features tours, tastings, fine dining, and a hilltop view of the entire northern Catskill Range. Clock-estate.com. And Broad and Taylor, makers of bread baking tools and equipment for listeners who are interested in beginning their sourdough journey. Recipes, how-to videos, and store at Broad, spelled B-R-O-D, and Taylor.com. Once again, thanks to Mary Rizzo from The Cheese Traveler and Shalina Bridgham from Four Fat Fowl for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the questions. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, and Dr. Nora Konarkiewicz screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday.